Gâteau, pain au chocolat. Oui.
Oh, okay.
Okay, first I want to mention that tonight is the Yahrzeit of Moshe Anshul ben Avraham. That's Mr. Hans of Shalom. He was the president of the shul, actually the first president when I came. That's when the shul started on Church Avenue. They moved where they were before by Balaban and Beverly Road, and they moved over to Church Avenue, and he was the president. Actually, of course, I tell you, he hired me at that particular time. He was a wonderful gentleman. He was dedicated to the shul, did a tremendous amount of work and so forth. That son, he passed away very young, 2 years after I was there, he passed away. And it's always a zecher. I remember each year I always have in mind Moshe Anshul ben Avraham, his son, two sons. And Avraham is still with us in the shul. And Shom Tov Aliyah. And the shiur tonight will be in his memory, his zikoron, Zecher Moshe Anshul ben Avraham. The Parshas Vayera begins with a pasuk, as Rashi says, which starts out castigating Moshe Rabbeinu. And the voice of spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and so we find in this particular pasuk two opposites. First, we find the Elokim, which is din, Heshbon. And Vayomer Hashem is sort of Rachamim. My glasses there. And
They are.
Rashi points out, Rashi is very interesting here. Rashi points out that the Dibur Itai Mishpat, after judgment, Moshe was angry at him. Al Shehiksha, but when he Moshe Rabbeinu sort of complained to the Moshe, and to say in the Loshin, Lama Harioso, Lama Harioso, Lama Zeh. Why did you do? Can they us bossy al pare? Hey, Lama Zeh. He made it worse. He didn't help them at all. The opposite of what you told me, and so forth. Even though the Moshe did tell him before that Paro is not going to listen, and he'll have to, he's going to punish him, and so forth. We had Chazok, etc., etc. But it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take that. Considered that he expected an immediate relief, and so forth. So this is a Loshen Kosh over here. It's interesting to note, interesting to note that from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu, the voice was spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, until this particular pasuk here in the Vayera, Moshe spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu 16 times, and each time it says Vayomer Hashem, always with Loshen Rachamim, Vayomer Hashem, and even in the case where we see that after. Actually, Ibn Shalom claiming to Moshe Rabbeinu to go for 7 days and giving more types of reasoning and so forth. And the end, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and says, Shlach lo b'yatishloch. Shlach lo b'yatishloch. Send whoever you want, and so forth. Ma, I don't want to go. And it says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. And it says right away, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. And yet, it says again, Vayomer Hashem b'Moshe. doesn't say by davening of a kin. Doesn't say that we're washing mishpat, washing kosher and so forth. Nothing. It was a charein af. Moshe was angry. And the Gemara says, by the way, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, I think it's in Zvochim, but the Gemara said, wherever it says charein af, there's a reishim, there's a punishment over there. And the Gemara says, what's the punishment over here? We don't see any punishment over here. Where the charein af? The charein af Hashem? Where the punishment and so forth? So the Gemara there is very soon. The Gemara is mashma the one Zvochim, I recall. Rabbi Shulman Korcho. Shulman Korcho, I think, wants to say that the punishment was that he said, the Moshe said to him, Vayichraf Hashem b'Moshe, Vayomer haloi Aharon achicho halevi, yodati ki yidaba yidaba, etc. The Moshe punctuated that to halevi, and he's going to become Kohen. You're supposed to be the Kohen, and he's the Levi. But he's going to end up being the Kohen, and you're going to be the Levi, and so forth. So here, the pasuk is merames to Moshe Rabbeinu. Punishment, what he said over here, that Shalach Lo Yatishloch, I'm not going. So when there was a charein af, there was an anger on the part of the Bnei Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu really was punished at this particular time, and by this means that he lost the kahuna over here. He lost the kahuna, and it was given over. Was given over to Aaron. This is what the Loshin, what the Gemara line shot. And the Gemara line, as we know, the Rashbam has always a tendency that always the Loshin Poshut, Loshin Pshat, is a famous Rashbam, which a few years ago, I don't know if I mentioned it here on the Zoom, but the Rashbam said that he had a vikuach with his grandfather, with Rashi, because the Rashbam was older than Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam learned with Rashi yet. Rashi was nifted in 1105. At that time, the Rashbam already was about 15, 20 years old. But he had learned with Rashi, with his grandfather. And in the Rashbam, the first Rashbam in Parshas Hayeshev, where he says, I had a big discussion with my grandfather and the machlokes and so forth, and he admitted to me that I'm right. He said, I said that you have to go with the pshat ha-poshet, the posuk over here, even though Chazal, of course, we accept Chazal. Chazal are right, the droshes are right, and you have to darshan the Torah that way, but you also have to read into the Torah in the normal way as well. And Rashi said, you're right. If I would have had more time, I would have concentrated on that also, because Rashi is 99% Chazal. And so forth. So it's interesting that, and I found I once made a paper, a study on that. I think 31 times where the Rashbam says different than Chazal. I mean, in a sense, in the Pshat and the Pasuk, even though he accepts what the Chazal darshan, but he says Pshat and the Pasuk is the Pasuk Pshat is different. So here the Rashbam says also, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. So the Rashbam says, the charein af oisa roishim, as the Gemara says, takim. The Gemara says that when he says the word charein af, anger, extreme anger on the part of the Bnei Shleilam, that leaves a what you call a punishment, a message to. So he says why? He says lefi hapshat. See, he's going according to the pshat of the pasuk. I would say he says that kasher. And we see over here, Ka'omun of Hanenu in the post over here, Vayivgesheu, Vayivakish Hamisoi. But later, when he went to Mitzrayim on the way, Epistle Sotan wanted to kill him. Now he's going with Shlikos of the Rabbinish over here. So it seems that he left him. So by saying, by igniting the Charein Af Hashem, he caused himself to be in danger of portion of death, that the Sotan wanted to kill him, portion. That's a Rashbam line shot. He says, "Vayivake shamisoi." The Pirashti he says over there in that particular pasuk over there. Yeshenasi he says with the mice over there when the tzaleah and the same thing with Yaakov tzaleah and Yerecha and so forth. So he learned that's poshup shot. But the Chazal, as I told you, learned a different shot. He learned that the kahuna was taken away from Shabbat. But either way, whatever we say, it's interesting to note that all 16 times it says always Vayomer Hashem constantly from Revi of Shmois until Vayera. And you don't find an expression like Dabar Elokim. There was a famous Malbim. I once saw a Malbim where the Malbim says that it's not so simple, he says. In Vayedaber Vayomer, it's a big chiddush in the Malbim. Malbim says that when it says Vayomer Hashem and Vayedaber Hashem, many times it says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayedaber Hashem and Moshe. Only one time in the Torah does it say Vayedaber Elokim Moshe over here. The pshat over here is there's Vayedaber is Loshen Kosher and the Elokim is Din. So here was this was really a side of Teichocha on the part of the Moshe, Vayedaber Elokim. If it says Vayedaber Hashem, the Malbim says Vayedaber Hashem does not mean din, does not mean what you call in a sense of admonition and punishment, castigation, Teichocha, reproving, reprimanding, and so forth, rebuking. No, it means Vayedaber Hashem is that the thing I'm telling you now is of extreme importance. I am madgish that, dibur. I'm strongly stressing it. Vayomer Hashem is when I tell you something that's clear in the Torah superficially, and I'm telling you to do Vayomer Hashem or Moshe and so forth, whether it may be a halacha or a din, it's everything is there, it's in front of you. But when it's Vayedaber Hashem, there's not only in front of you, but there was also Torah Shema Peh involved. There was Seudas HaTorah, secrets of Torah in there. That's Pshat what the Malbim says. So Vayedaber Hashem is a yesod of giving over types of mitzvahs where there were, where there was what you call it with the what you call it, with the external manifestation of the mitzvah put in the Torah, but also given along was called Halacha Moshe Sinai in the sense of Seudas HaTorah, etc., etc. That was what Vayedaber Kosher. And but it wasn't a din of din against Moshe. The only time it's a din of din is Vayedaber Elokim Moshe. There were the kosher and mishpat. And this is the only place that you find the Torah where some spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayedaber Elokim Moshe. So you have to understand why talk you here, there, and there, that. A little, Moshe Rabbeinu said such a thing, Yatishlach. And yet, and yet, there was not that exhortation of, in the sense of anger, open anger in that particular sense, and punishment. I was thinking that to understand this contrast over here between these two places, I think Rashi actually gives us a little hint. Because you notice Rashi says, why was the Rebbe Shalom angry over here by Dabar El Kim? So Rashi says, because he said, Loma Hari Oysa Loma Zeh. Loma Hari Oysa Loma Zeh. You made it worse for them. They couldn't get the straw anymore, and what do you call it? They couldn't get the straw, and also you didn't do anything. I didn't accomplish anything. I made it worse. And Dosav Aviram claimed to them, "You killed us, killing us, Moshe," as the Pesuk says. So, shot over there when Moshe Rabbeinu refused to go. There's an interesting yesod over there. There's a story that I saw from the Shiva around Kotelgrad, and I saw it from a reliable source. So I presume that it's true. A reliable source. It says even one time that he obtained among a Hasidic group. A group of Hasidim and so forth. And it seems that one of the Hasidim said that the Simcha Bunim and Fashishka, Simcha Bunim, the Rebbe, had said that at one time he felt there was a Madrega that he could have brought Mashiach. And he felt he had that koyach to bring Mashiach. However, why didn't he do it? Why didn't he do it? Because he didn't want to embarrass the Abderov. The Abderov was like his, in a sense, a competition, in a sense. But the Abderov was a goy, was a tzaddik and a goyin, and he not to, not to not he couldn't he would Abderov feel bad that he took away from him the Yidden Mashiach, and he couldn't get together with him to do it together. It's a whole story there. So the Rashiva said, he said, "Ich verstehe nicht." He says that a mensch can bring a Mashiach. You have to think what the other person will feel bad. You bring Mashiach, you bring it to Klal Yisrael. You bring a Yeshua, the Geula. How could you do such a thing? How could that? It's hard to understand, he said. And he said that to the Chosid, to the Tzidim over there, were there in these, in the Koshima. And he said that, what did the Chosidim said? He said, no, never. We find it. Megifintos, we find it. And he mentioned the Medrash over here, where the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shlach lo b'yad tishlach. So the Medrash says, I'm not going to go. I can't embarrass my brother Aaron that he was leading the people till now, and he's the choshev person over there. He was Moshe Nefesh and so forth, and I should take away and I should do it. He said, I can't go for that reason, and therefore, because of Aaron, I'm not going to go. So the Shiva said, Gerech, you're right. It's a good ride. However, Moshe Rabbeinu over here with his sense of his anivus and his humbleness and humility. He felt he couldn't and make his older brother feel bad. You're going to have told you to redeem Klal Yisrael? He's sending you to redeem? Right? So over here, even though the Baruch Shem was charoi na'af, but Moshe had a way out. And it says, I'm saying that there was an excuse over here. There was a certain time that we could find a schus for Moshe Rabbeinu over here, his mesiras nefesh that he had, in the sense of the understanding what it means, the feeling of another person in that sense, the feeling of another individual, in that point, his brother and so forth would feel, how would it look like I take away? He has been 80 years when I was away, and he was suffering with them in Mitzrayim and took care of the whole Klal Yisrael at that particular time. And I'm coming in and taking all the gravy. I'm taking the whole thing over there. How does it look? It's a vice even when it comes to Geula. And not only that, I bring out the point. Not only that, he even went back to Yisrael to get permission to go. Which also I spoke, if you remember last time, I mentioned it briefly. Go back to Yisrael. Moshe told you to go to Mitzrayim to take out the Jewish people. To go get permission from him. What if he wouldn't give permission? No, I promised him. I gave my word. I swore. I have to go to him. Even though it means Klal Yisrael, means the Geula Yisrael. A word is a word. A person has to feel for the other person what it means. What does it mean for another person? How is the person going to feel and so forth? So in this case over here, there's a schus from Moshe Rabbeinu that shows how much his devotion to Klal Yisrael, and that the Baruch Hu took into effect and took to account, so to speak, that not Vayidavar Elokim. No. Just that Baruch Hu was talking angry, and there was a little bit of punishment over here because how you express yourself. But at the same time, the Vayidavar Elokim was not here. Just once in the time of Vayidavar Elokim, when it came to the place where he questioned the Rabbeinu Shlomo. When he question says, Lama Reis Lama Zeh, that you say, I am Reis Lama Zeh. That you don't understand what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu made a choice in the word Oz. He said, Oz Bosi Parai. Then it says, Oz Yoshi Moshe. Mashallah. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Shira, the Tshuva, he said, Oi. But Oz Kotosi, I sinned with the word Oz, and now I'm going to make it up. Oz Yoshi Moshe. We can. We say Tchias Amesim in Atoil. Moshiach Tchias Amesim in Atoil. Doesn't say Oz Shor. He should have said that he sang. It says Yoshir, he will sing. Not only now, but there's a Moshiach too. There's a Tchias Amesim and so forth. That's what the Gemara brings. What's the Pshat over here? The meaning of this Oz, what's the Oz over here? What's the difference with Oz? The answer is that the word Oz has a double meaning, I said. The word os could mean then in the past tense. Os could also mean os in the future tense. It cannot mean now. It means either past or future. Moshe Rabbeinu, and over here, in what he called it in by Shemois, when the first time the contact started with the Rabbeinu Sholem, he thought it had come, that will come to Mitzrayim, to Paray, and to accomplish and so forth. He said, "Oz, boss your father, I came to Paray and I don't see anything. Nothing happened over here." Ah, but you don't realize that Oz means a future. Because why? You say, I did bad. You don't understand. By making it avoid the kosher, taking away the straw, make it worse and worse, as the Medrash brings over the Chazal, that's knocked off the 190 years. That's why we got 210 in Mitzrayim. So because of the avoid the kosher, that took away. So it's not a Hari Oyselam Hazeh. It's not Hari Oyselam Hazeh. But Moshe Rabbeinu saw later in the Geula, he saw what happened over there. He said, the Oz Kotosi, he says, a person can only see the past. A person doesn't see the future. Unless the Rebbe Hashem tells him the future or gives him the views and so forth what to say. But like this, the person doesn't know. And therefore, you can't second guess the Rebbe Hashem that he's she doesn't mean the other part. Just mean Lomah her. Why did you do bad? That's what Rashi stresses over here. And the Rebbe Hashem, it's not bad. See, that's what he said. Right, bad for Klal Yisrael. What I do is good for Klal Yisrael. And what he said, it comes out good. And Ba'oz Kotosi, Ba'oz Tikanti. So over here, Taki says, Vaidavir Alekim. But here it was Taki, an Oynish, in the sense that the Wisdom castigated him, because that's not how you, in the sense, accusing the Wisdom at that particular point, and that's in misunderstanding, in that sense of Oz. And what does it mean, Oz? Bosi of Para Hebra Homazer. And not understanding that there's another meaning to Oz. And that a person doesn't see the future, doesn't know what's going on until it actually happens and so forth. Unless he has the Nevius and the Chakaitis. At this time, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that at this particular point for this part. So therefore, here was another Nekim, but over there was Gabi Klal Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind and knew what happened with Aaron and did it because of the Ahava and the Mishios Nefesh of Aaron and they want to assault his brother and so forth. So Shiva said, yeah, that's Taka Pshah. That if you had a person, even for the Geula, you have to think of somebody else as well. And in that context, I want to tell you a little brief little story, not about from generations ago, but our simple time. There was a good friend of mine, I mean, I was twice, 40, 50 years older than me, but I used to bake matzah by the side of the road, and he's a little Sekula. Started the Yahoo side as a young fellow, in fact, a kid, many, many years there, but he was a very, very a wonderful human being that was suffered in Siberia. There's a lot of stories. I'm not going to go into the whole thing now. The Sadov was very close with him, and he was very friendly. That he used to say his name was Yisrael. He said, call me Izzy. So it's interesting. He had an interesting minhag on Purim. That he would daven. He had a shul on his shul was on 50th Street between 51st between 14 and 50. Yeah, so he had a minhag that he would daven by the first minyan 6 o'clock early in the morning, very early, and then he would hear the Megillah right away, and then from then until Chatzais he would go around to all the shuls in Borough Park. Mamas like what you call the schnorrers, one of those collecting tzedakah for poor people. And they saw the Saddam on the roof. He himself, every shoe, every plant, every little steeple that he went around to collect money and collect the money. And he came home, he was all knocked out. He was an older man already, older. And that's many stories. So when he came home, so they sat down by the table and they wanted, he should eat something. He didn't eat yet. Went straight from the Megillah. And said, nope. They counted the money. So as they're counting the money, the pennies, the dimes, the quarter, the nickels, the face dot, and the dollar, he gives a look. He says, oy vey, you see the $100 bill? This was my birth. $100 bill. Give me $100 bill. It's not shy. What's that $100 bill? And he started to think. He says, "This can't be. Somebody made a mistake. Gave a $100 bill." So they told him that. I said, "No, no." And he started to think. He says, "Oh, I think I know who it is." He said, "There's one man, a chosher person there. I don't recall the name. A chosher person." He said that. "Oh, he gave me $10. Always gave me a $10 bill. I came around and collected $100 here, half a dollar, and he gave me a $10 bill. Could be," he said, I should, that he put his hand in his pocket and gave me the $10 bill. And by accident, he must have given me a $100 bill. It's his $100 bill, Mr." So they said, "Nah, it's me, well, eat something." He had a minute to eat two suddas in Purim. He had a minute to eat two suddas. One sudda by Chatzos, by the 1 o'clock, by Mincha time. And then later, before the Shkia, another suda. So they said, "Eat the first suda first, and then you'll go check." See, the name. He says, "I'm afraid the medafli that this person might be in tsar. They lost $100, $100 bill." He says, "He's off tracking for yenim. I'm putting Moshe Rabbeinu over here." He says, "Well, I know it's good for me that I made the money and so forth, but I have to think what's good for him." No, and he said no, and he's going. So his son went with him. Sons. And he went and went around, went to the guy's house, that he thought that this was the guy. And he comes to the house over there, and he was that sad. You do the son of the road. He was not a man that would. He wasn't a man that just stump talks. He goes straight to the point. He says to the guy, he says, "It's a learn. Hinder that Geltan. You lost $100 bill today." I looks at him. He says, "You know," he says, "the mice, I don't understand." He says, "I have a $100 bill that's missing that I had that in." He says, "$100 bill is missing." He says, "He took out the $100 bill." He said, "This is your $100 bill." And the guy said, "This is his $100 bill." He said, "Miss Stum, what did you want to give me today?" I wanted to give you the $10 they always give you. So he took out, instead of the 10, he took out 100 probably. He made a mistake. He said, "Yeah, that's it." So the man was unbelievable. So he said, "Rebbe," he says, "I don't want to take it back. Keep the 100. I don't want to keep the 100. So I don't know. He says, "No. Meshumoy from that." He says, I go for tzedakah when a person gives relay sholem. And that's what he gave me for tzedakah. You give me $10 is your amount that you give. And $100 is not b'leiv sholem because you're embarrassed and so forth. You want to give $100? But sure, might or not." And they argued back and forth until the guy had to take back the $100. And he said, "Give me my 10. And he gave a $10 bill. And he went back home. And he was morally simple. He said, "What I want is simple." And he ate the soup this morning. I want to show you. Say if people tend to have a certain hakor, a certain feeling, what does it mean to hurt somebody else? He refused to eat the suda, mitzvah suda's purim. He refused to eat because the other guy's in pain. He said, "There's a person in pain over here that lost $100. Every minute counts." And in fact, he brought an ayah from Yosef. Yosef all the time was what you call testing the brothers, testing. But at the moment that he found that he revealed himself and everything became clear, and this all that he said, "Mahari, hurry up, go home. I'll take you to Baderach. Go straight. I don't want a moment that the father should suffer one extra moment. Get there immediately." He says, "That's you have to think for another person." He said, "That extra moment he shouldn't even suffer. That mistake that he made, $100, he shouldn't have to suffer even an extra moment of a particular time." That's the point I wanted to bring out. Understand a little bit over here why by Moshe Rabbeinu Taki Achrei Naf was not ended with the Vayedaber Lakim, but also over there Vayomer, also Vayomer. This is the concept I want to bring out at this particular point. That you see over here, but immediately Moshe said to him, Vayomer Ani Hashem. Still Ani Hashem. Neman Shalom Scar, that particular point over here. But the choice of Moshe Rabbeinu was actually, as we said, is that he couldn't know at that particular time that the Yisrael, the Moshe was always the fool before the market. Even the boy of Moshe Rabbeinu was the fool before the market. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, before the Gezeirah went into effect, before the whole idea of what you call of the Avodah Kosher and so forth that happened in that sense. The Yesod of in Shemois was the four before the Makir. And that part where Shabbeinu didn't have that particular reasoning in that sense. And there's a word in the Yesod, what does it mean the four before the Makir? I'm going to bring you a story now, it's unbelievable story to understand the concept over here. What does it mean talking the four before the Makir and the sense of understanding of how the Rebbeinu Shlom carries the world in that sense. This happened in the time of Shlomo Kluger. Maybe many people don't know this story. This happened in the time of Shlomo Kluger. Seems that in those days, Shlomo Kluger lived from 1786 until 1866. 1586 to 1866, 80 years. And he was the Rav at that time in 1820 when he came to Brod. That remained for the rest of his life. The Fahim Zal Margolius, they took him in. So it's a separate story on that. But in those days, there were different cities at that time, those areas where Russia and so forth, where every once in a while there was a what did you call a Gzeira, from the government. And it seems that this particular city, they came out with a certain decree that the head of the in St. Petersburg, the major part they sent to this particular town, to the mayor of the town, that the army is coming there to stay in that particular town, to settle there. And everybody has to take soldiers into his house. And he's all goyim. And they choose to do, they're going to have Gehak Tzoros. No question about it. It was a murdering Gezeirah. But the mayor said he had no choice. And you have to take everybody, have to go into the town. So there was a tremendous amount of, what do you call it, of fear on the part of the Jewish people. First in the Gashmias. And the soldiers, whatever they could do. And the Rukhniyas, in the sense that there would be destruction. And they hurt their children and so forth. What are they going to do? So they got together and they were thinking, what would they do over here? So they decided to go to the Rebbe. There was a Rebbe in the cities away, one of the Gedalia from Gedalia Chassidim and so forth. And it doesn't mention, Shlomo Kluger doesn't mention the name of the Rebbe. But there was the top Rebbe, I could even be the Rupshitz, so I don't know. Because at that time, it was 1828. He was Nifta, this was the 1820s. And they came to the Rebbe, came to the Tzaddik. And they were crying. They said, look, you don't know what to do. They have a gzeir over here, and how they can get out of it? You should give them a broker that they should get out of this gzeir, or they should battle the gzeir or something. So the Rebbe said, the Tzaddik said, he said, look, he says, I happen to have a mitzvah now of Pidyon Shvuyim, redeeming Jews that were kidnapped hostages that we have now. And he said, that is the greatest mitzvah of all. He brought the Chazal, what the Chazal say, Pidyon Shvuyim Keneged Kula, to be paid the nefesh in Yisrael, to redeem a person from captivity, for a Jew to save his life, his mamish, were the greatest mitzvahs. He says, I need a large amount of money for that. Very much money, and I could get all these Jews free. If you give me the pigeon, you'll get for me this large amount of money. I'll give you the broker, you'll be my tzliya, and you won't have the gzeir. It won't be a gzeir. So they're a poor town, a poor city. But they said, what can they do? So they said, we're going to go home and see what we're going to try to do, what we can do. And it took about a month later, they were supposed to come with the army. So they went back to the town and they had a whole meeting of all the people. And all the Hasidim gave, there were two different parts in the town. There were Hasidim that were, and there were Misnagdim, the anti-Kosid and so forth, that were a different group. So the Chassidim, they gave whatever from the last penny that they had and so forth, but of course it wasn't enough. So they went also to the Mishnah and said, look, you're also part of the city. So they said, no, we don't. What kind of tzaddik do? He said, over here, there's a gzeir, there's a gzeir. What are we going to do? What kind of tzaddik do over here? Because you know, his brokers can help over here. How can we be guaranteed that they help? And that, but we don't want to, we don't trust you. You see them, you believe, and so forth. We don't accept them. We're Mishnagdim. And they talked to them. Finally, the Mishnagdim said, the group, they said, all right, we'll give you money. We'll give you the money on the condition that if the gzeirah will not come, okay, you win. But if it doesn't help, we want our money back. Nope. So they said, all right, what do they do? They had no choice. So they accepted that particular thing. They got together the money and they took were able to amass the sum of money that they needed, a large sum of money, and they brought it to the tzaddik. They brought it to the Rebbe, brought it to the tzaddik. And sure enough, Takir, he made a pigeon shvuyim right away. He was able to save mamas a whole grand amount of Jews. There was a whole mice there in Russia that happened at that particular time to save them, and he got them all out. And then he gave them a bracha. He said, you should know that the gzeira will not affect your town. I give you a bracha. And he went home. But sure enough, a week after they came home, the mayor of the town received a letter from the government again that a change took place and they're not coming to the city, but they're going to a different city. Amish, no gzeir. That they're not coming there, they're not going to be in the house of the Jews, they don't want to do with them. And they're not coming at all. There was mamash da Yehuda, Moshe Oyer, Simcha. There was a mamash celebration, all that. But the Mishnagdim took a look, and they saw that the letter that was sent to the mayor was dated before they went to the tzaddik for pidyon shvuyim, which means that the government made that letter. That they're making the shinui, the change from this city to another city, let's say July 1st and so forth. And they first went to the Rebbe July 15th, let's say. So they said, wait a minute. But there was a gzeira altogether. So he didn't accomplish anything with the pinyin shvuyim. There was no gzeira. The gzeira was before, the letter was there before. Yeah. And they want the money back. They want the money back because the Rebbe didn't accomplish it. He didn't do it, it was done before him. We see from the date in the letter. The Chassidim walked to them, you know what to do, and they raised that money to pay back to them. And here they kind of know what the Rebbe's filler was, the Rebbe's filler. And the Rebbe did it. It was exclusive of the Rebbe, he did it. And he said, what do you mean? The Rebbe didn't do it. The date was before the Rebbe. So he didn't know what to do. So they went to the Shlomo Kluger. He was the Goyen Ador. And they brought this Kshayla to the Shlomo Kluger to Paschal. Do they have to give back the money or not? And the Mishnagdim said, Rav Shlomo Kluger was a field, he was officially not a chosid. Officially, he was not a chosid, but he was close to Chassidim. He was recognized by everybody, actually. So so they told Rav Shlomo Kluger, we want din, no pshara, no compromise. We want the halacha. Do we get back our money or not? Are we entitled to the money or not? They felt that they had it on their side. They had the date. So Shlomo Kluger said, usually Shlomo Kluger paskind on the spot. He said, no, I want to wait. You come back tomorrow morning and I'll give you a psak. Back tomorrow morning, I'll give you a psak. Not going to look. Sure enough, they came back the next morning and Shlomo Kluger paskind. The Chassidim are right. It was in the schools of the Rebbe, and therefore they don't have to give back the money. They were like shocked. He said, but then Tony, where do we see such a thing? So Shlomo Kluger brought a raya from Tanakh. And then there's a raya, I'm not going to bring the other one from the Gemara and Ksubas. I'm not going to bring that one because it'll take it's late already. But he bought a raya from Hadoimi. Eldad Hadoimi, the one that had the Orion. Remember about the Philistines only had the Orion for 3 months. He had the Orion time by David
Okay.
HaMelech. And the Bnei Shalom blessed his family at that particular time because he kept the Orion, the Orion and the Luchos and so forth. And he was, so the Gemara says, what bracha did he have that the Bnei Shalom gave him? So he said that at that time, after the 3 months, right by the 3 months that he had the Orion, he was zeicher that he had 62 different children that came from him, which means he had eight sons, eight daughters-in-law. His wife was Chamos, and each one gave birth to six. At 8 times 6 is 48. She gave birth to six, 54, and the eight sons that he had from before that were married is 62, and that bracha he had. So Shlomo Kluger said, "What the Peli says? What kind of bracha is that? That he gave at that time, at the end of the 3 months, they gave birth. That was the source that he had. When a woman gives birth, he said, takes 9 months. Takes 9 months. It was 7 months, but he only had the Orion 3 months. So they were pregnant before that. Well, hear what he said? They were pregnant before that. How? Where's the bracha? He's a raya. He says that we don't know how the Bnei Shalom runs the world. He said that the Bnei Shalom sets up the refuah before the makkah. He set up for them. They should be pregnant for six. They should have it. And the knowledge that of the Das Hashem that is going to be over here for 3 months, the Orin by him, and by the actual performance of that, brings it to culmination, brings it to the occurrence. And if they wouldn't have continued to have that, it would have come into effect. But the setup is made before. He said, that's the Yisoid over here. By the vidur four before the Makir, the Rebbe Shlomo set something in advance, he said. He said, over here by the Rebbe, it's true that the letter was made up over there, Takir. But if not for the tefillah of the Rebbe, they wouldn't have sent it to the mayor. They would have sent the letter altogether to the mayor. He said the letter was the say date at that particular date. But because of the tefillah that the Rebbe Shlomo waited for the tefillah of the Rebbe to take place and his schus, in the schus of the pidyon shvuyim, the schus of the mitzvah that he made, he brought through to fruition what he had set up, what he had set up to come about that particular sense that should be over here the refuah for this particular case. He said, that's the yisoid of refuah for the market. It doesn't mean that it means that the refuah is there, but it has to wait until the 10th of the market. The refuah was there. The Bnei Shlomo said already. Pokoi we said Pokoi Yifkoi, as the Shlomo Kluger says. The 190 was taken away before that. But they had to go through this particular activity on the part of the people, it should come into fruition and so forth. But the setup for Geula was there already. So you can't say, why did you do evil to the people and so forth? There's no such thing as evil. Everything is set up by the Kovah of the Seder. And the Ness is put into the Teva. And when you do your Teva, the Ness comes into fruition and so forth, comes to finality in that particular sense. That's the insight that we have to understand in the concept of refuah for the market. And that the person, what a person does, and that we do what we can to that like the Sfasema says. Someone said that the person says that he says Yogati loymotzosi or Yogati motzosi. That means I learned Torah and I found and I got Torah. So he says if a guy learned Torah, Yogati motzosi, believe him, because he studied, he learned, so he got it. So he says in that case, why does the Chazal say Yogati? I worked hard and motzosi, I found it. Found it doesn't mean you got it. When I learned hard. So, Panisi, I got it. I bought it. I made it. I learned. What's it? What's talking? He's a Metzia. Unexpected. He said, that's what we have to see, which means it's completely unexpected. Because the Bnei Shlomo gives it to you because he wants to give it to you. And that's what's planned for you and so forth. But You have to go through Birachikos Atasa. You have to do. But not till you're doing accomplishes. That's what Sema says. Not the doing accomplishes. The doing is what you have. That's how it has to be. But there hateva, that the bracha from the Rebbeinu should be chal, that should come into fruition in that particular sense. The difficult concept of it, but I think you get the picture I'm bringing out. At that particular point, that's what we see over here. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu over here also. That's Lama Roish Lama Zeh. That, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said, you come to Mashallah, Oz Tikanti. And that's why he says, I corrected the Oz. He need the concept of past and future, which a person doesn't know. And therefore, I say now, I don't say, oh, sure. Not only am I singing now, but we'll always sing. Oz Yoshir. I know the voice of always has for us. There's always a future. There's Tchias HaMashiach, there will be, there will always be, and so forth. And not that what we have now, what we made it now, we did it now, and that's it, but it's always there. We have to come to it, and so forth, and many times through trials and tribulations, and so forth, but when we come to it, we have it, what was prepared for us in advance before. That's the Klal Refuah before the Makkah.
Shoya. Radash, I have a supplemental explanation.
Pleasure to hear from you.
I wait till you hear what I have to say. I have a supplemental explanation on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu's defense.
Let's hear.
When we have no inkling to the love and rachmanes that Moshe Rabbeinu had toward the Jews.
You're
when
right.
You
that's
read
hard.
Such a
Yeah.
When you reach such a medrege on behalf of the Jews with such love and such rachmanes, you cannot choose your words appropriately. You are so caught up with your love and your rachmanes feelings for the Jews, you cannot think clearly at that moment. You cannot. You have what so called is righteous indignation.
You're 100% right. That's another pshat that's given. 100% right. That's another shot that's given. That's part of not only what he had feelings for Aaron, but his whole feeling shows for the whole Klal Yisrael, his Mesiras Nefesh.
Erase
me from the Torah, and so forth. So
right,
we see that
right.
Itself was a excuse for Moshe Rabbeinu. You're right, 100%.
And I also want to say that taking away the Kahuna was not a punishment. It was
Why?
Not a punishment because
Why, he
Moshe
loses
Rabbeinu,
$5. He loses $5 opinion.
No, it was not a punishment. It had to be because in that moment it was recognized, and later on it was verified again and again that Moshe Rabbeinu had an anger issue, and a Kohen Gadol cannot have an anger issue. Aaron Kohen, we saw that he was always making peace and shalom.
Yeah, but
that was not Moshe Rabbeinu's trait.
It's a good point, but the Chazal say that general Kohanim and general Kasonim, Kohanim have to control themselves
yes,
because they have
yes,
a tendency.
Yes, but the Kohen Gadol,
but even the Kohen Gadol, Aaron had to train himself too. He had to control himself.
Okay, but his big mila was always making.
Yeah, yeah, I hear what
you're
saying. You're right. I have shown ready for him. Yeah, you're right.
So I
okay,
could go on, but thank you.
Shkayach for coming. Very good.
Thank you. Well, Shkayach for being here.
Rabbi Kurzweig, I sorry for mentioning my father's name.
Hello?
Rabbi Kurzweig?
Yeah.
Yes, I for mentioning my father tonight.
I mentioned
him.
Huh?
Yeah, he said
yes. Okay, yeah. No, Shabbos Aliyah. Your father was very dedicated, devoted. He was dedicated, devoted to you. I'll never forget the last year when he asked me that time. They gave me the opening, the Aaron for Nila, and he asked me if he could do it. As a source, maybe it'll help him to get well. And I gave him over the opening the Aaron for Nila that time when he was very sick. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
But that, yeah, it was Yom Kippur, the last Yom Kippur.
May the Shama have an Aliyah.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. That's your call for running.